Christmas story, the true Christmas story. Very significant to each one of us because it's the coming of God to earth. The humbling of God. So sometimes we get the wrong idea that it's the birth of Christ. No, it's the incarnation of God. It's significant because it's fulfilling of many prophecies. A promise from God from over 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, when sin first entered the world. Then 800 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah prophesied. We can go into many others, as Jeremiah, David. Many prophecies throughout the Old Testament that were fulfilled through the birth of Christ. Christmas story is significant because it's the Lamb of God which will take the sins of the world upon himself. Christmas story is significant because 33 years after his birth, he'd be crucified for you and I. Significant because his birth gives us hope. Significant because if you place faith in him, you will enjoy his presence for all eternity. As we saw this short video, I hope you enjoyed that. Just kind of a very short picture of the whole story. It's just a glimpse of what happened on that special night. As we say, a beautiful night, but we know biblically and culturally it was a very ugly night, scary night, stinky night, loud night. That's how God loved us. On that fulfillment, when God's time, perfect time came, what he calls the fulfillment of time, he sent his Holy Spirit to plant his seed in a young lady named Mary. Then he also sent the same, an angel, to touch and prepare the heart of her fiancé, who was trying to make a decision on what he needed to do with her. Take her out and stone her for being pregnant, when he knew he had never touched her. And the angel came with news from heaven. So this is the fulfillment of what Isaiah has promised you. He also prepared Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, to be an encouragement to Mary. And if you remember the story, as Mary approaches Elizabeth, John the baby, John the Baptist, I should say, still inside his mama's womb, leaped for joy. In the presence of Jesus, there is joy. See, in God's planning, he gave a reason for Joseph and Mary to travel. He had already planned his day of taxation, where everyone would have to travel to their hometown. And when that night arrived, the angel came and declared the arrival of Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Then a multitude of angels came, saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to the excellence." Know that after all this happened, and we could fill in a whole lot of gaps there, there was still more to happen after this day. More that tells us who this baby is. As for the last month, every Sunday morning, we've been just trying to just kind of uncover who this baby is. Not just a cute story that we like to talk about, but who truly came to earth. But after his birth, we know the truth continues to unveil to us. And after they had fulfilled their days doing the census, and they left Bethlehem, when they were already in a house, we don't know exactly the amount of time that passed. Some say it was a matter of months, some say as much as 4 years later. We know the wise men show up. Wise men do not mean they're kings. So we three kings is kind of a goofy song. They did that to make it rhyme. They were wise men, meant they were studied men. It appears they were probably stargazers. And we don't know how many there were, just that there was more than one. And he brought three gifts together as a group. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to be reading in Matthew chapter 2. And a couple different areas. Not going to be long tonight. But I really want us to get a little more of a glimpse of who this baby is. Who we know. Oh, we like the cute pictures of him in a manger. But 33 years later, there's no way to make the cross pretty. We try. We varnish it up and everything. But the one he was on was bloody, splintering, and crude. Who is that? And in Matthew chapter 2, it starts like this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. What an attitude when we hear about Jesus. When we hear about Jesus, our desire should be to worship him. These men were traveled. They traveled from afar. And some believe they traveled as much as 800 miles. Now, that doesn't sound terrible to us, because I'm about to drive, jump in a car with the family when we're done here, and drive 330 miles to Springfield, Missouri. That's going to take us about five and a half hours. No big deal. They didn't have a Ford Escape. They had something more like a Dodge. Oh, someone's a Dodge person here. You can imagine traveling for 800 miles on a donkey or on your camels or on foot. They were serious in their pursuit of this prophesied baby that they received a sign about. They weren't just waiting for someone to come and give them a cute little story or paint a picture for them. They wanted to know him personally. So they traveled to meet this prophesied baby. To know this baby, they knew he was worth the effort to know him. They knew he was valuable enough to come all the way to him and worship him. They weren't just giving up a Sunday morning, as we see as a sacrifice offering. They're giving up a big chunk of their life to come and see him, to worship him. They had a short detour as they hit Jerusalem. They started asking questions, and they got called in by the king, who started interrogating them. And he gave them instructions to return and inform him of the baby's location. You know why? He said, because I want to worship him too. We know because the scripture tells us he didn't want to worship. He wanted to kill this baby. As there had already been many attempts at killing the lineage so the baby could not be born, God was already in control here. He was in fear of being this king, usurping his authority. Little did he know, he didn't have the authority this king would have. But those same wise men, a little bit farther down in Matthew chapter 2, go down to verse 9, if you're following with me, it says, when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Notice here that they had emotions that they didn't have when they talked to the king. If you were to walk in and talk to someone that was a king at that time, it would have been a big honor. It would be emotional. It would be scary. It would be something that would draw emotions from you. But they knew this baby was a much bigger deal than that king. Yeah. They were excited to see this baby. They were excited to see this prophesied king, the Messiah that had come. And they were excited. In verse 10, we see they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, they didn't just rejoice with joy, but the scripture says with exceedingly great joy. It went from whoop whoop to woohoo. They were excited. That's how we should feel about being able to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It should give us a peace and a joy and an excitement that I get to speak to him. I get to listen to his words. I get to meet with his people. They were excited. They recognized this baby as a prophesied one from God, the Messiah, which we would know as the Christ. And this gave them joy. And when they entered the house of this young child, no longer a baby, it says a young child, they saw this child. And their reaction was, in verse 11, to fall down and worship. Understand, these were wise men. They didn't kneel down before many people. They got knelt down too. They were the ones that would get honored. They were the ones people respected. But when they approached this baby, they humbled themselves. And they gave Jesus the due honor and respect in recognizing him for who he is. How awesome the story is that you and I should be challenged. And how do I honor Jesus? How do I love his name? How do I want to know him deeper? And then they pulled out the part of the story we're most familiar with. They pulled out three gifts. And we can move on very quickly. Just three gifts. Oh, no. If it were just three gifts, they weren't going to give a baby and a cold gold. They'd have given them a blanket, a sandwich. Right? But see, they gave them some special gifts. They gave him gifts with significance. Gifts that were a picture of who Jesus was. The gifts were not just in case he got us something. Because remember, it's Christmas time. Got to get something in case he got me something. And then I got to give him something good in case he got me something good, right? We play that game. Take the joy out of it. But they came to worship. They came to worship the king. And so they wanted to honor Jesus and worship by giving. And their gifts were significant. I've only got to just give you a couple more minutes here. But listen to what these gifts were. Each one of these gifts represent the person of Jesus. Recognize who this baby is. And we see in verse 11, the three gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. The first was gold. I think most of us would be like, I'll take it. It's a good gift. And no amens today, because we're church, right? But gold's a good thing, but understand what that was a picture was. Picture of gold was symbolic as that precious metal for royalty, for a king. Gold was not for an average man, a normal man. It was for the king. And we know that Jesus, throughout Scripture, we've been told that he is the king. And multiple times, I believe it's seven times in Scripture, it tells us, including in Revelation 19, where he is actually marked as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the name above all names. It's at his name that every other king will bow. That every other king will confess that he is the king. He is above all others. Other kings will one day answer to him unless they place faith in him. He will punish kings that walk in darkness but don't have a relationship with him. He is the king, and the wise men recognize that with a gift of gold. The second gift was frankincense. Frankincense. Now they didn't get you confuse and bring Frankenstein with him. But frankincense. It was a perfume. Might sound weird until you do some deeper study. It's a great, strong-smelling perfume, especially when it is burned. It was used at the temple for worship of God, where the priests would use it when they're bringing sacrifices that were offered. And here's what God says about frankincense and the way he tells it doesn't use it multiple times in Exodus and Leviticus. It says it's a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Lord enjoyed it. It was the obedience of their heart in giving this sacrifice that he enjoyed, but that's what he called for. See, frankincense was something the priest would take to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Frankincense represents Christ. You know why? Hebrews is really clear to us that Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. You're not sure what a priest really is. It's not some man that travels around and with his goofy clothes on. The high priest is one that has direct access to the Father. The high priest is the only one that can take your worship to the Father. The high priest is the only one that could enter in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory was. That is the presence of God. Anyone else that walked in would die. But the high priest had the right to approach him. That's why we need the high priest. Because he gives us access to the Holy One. He gives us access to the Father. That's why Hebrews 4:14 says this about Christ. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See, Jesus opens access for all who place faith in him to have a relationship with the Holy God. So frankincense was a picture of that very thing, that he is the high priest. Myrrh. After he gave gold and frankincense, last of the gift that's mentioned is myrrh. Myrrh, if you're familiar with it, was used as an embalming medicine, an embalming fluid, if you would. Sometimes it was mixed with drinks because it had medicinal purposes, but it was very bitter because it was a picture of suffering, but it was also used for embalming, keeping the body from rotting. It was a picture that this baby would grow and suffer as a man to die for us. Just as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53:5. But he is wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. His death on the cross was the ultimate suffering. He did this so that we could live. He took the wrath of God that you and I deserve. He took the wrath of God that I deserve because I have violated, I have sinned against the Holy God. And that little baby that we like to celebrate on Christmas offered himself as a payment for my sins. And like myrrh, Christ is the medicine for my sins. Like myrrh, Christ brings the healing that I need. But it only cures those who call upon his name through faith. So Romans tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that verse. I love that verse. See, this baby Jesus is king. This baby Jesus is the high priest. This baby Jesus, he is a substitutionary sacrifice, and he came to us. God came to us as a young child, as a baby. Could you come up here, Ezra? Now, we didn't get too young of a child because, well, he's dealing with fire here. And what we're going to do is that baby brought the light into the world so that we can have the light from God. That light exposes our sinfulness and our need of life. Light is also a picture of life, and he offers that life to all who believe and reach out and accept his salvation. And now that both of us have light, you know what we are called to do? To share this light with the world. send you if you will pass it, keep passing it down your row. Turn up the turplex on.
Let's stand again and let's sing Child in the Manger.
Sing is Silent Night.